I want to welcome everybody to our Wednesday evening Bible study, last day of January, January 31st, as we get ready to get into the book of Daniel. We're going to have a little bit of review, a historical review, and also the structure of the book of Daniel is interesting because the first six chapters of Daniel have to do with events in history. The last six chapters are all about prophecy. It actually kind of goes back and talks about the different prophetic things. So this is all really good stuff. Daniel is a book that anyone who's going to study Revelation should also study Daniel. Historically, Daniel was part of the people of Judah, which was the southern kingdom. This was after the northern kingdom had already fallen. And the people were not behaving the way they should. And prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah were warning them that they needed to change their ways. And Nebuchadnezzar came in 605 BC. And he didn't totally capture Jerusalem at the time, but he took control of it and he deported some of their best people. And Daniel and his three friends in 605 BC were part of that first deportation. Then there was another deportation in 597 BC, and that's when Ezekiel was taken to Babylon. And then there was another one in 586 BC, and that was when the king, I believe it was Zedekiah, he double-crossed Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, I'll let you be king over this area, but it's my area, the area in Jerusalem. He said, but I'll let you kind of rule it, knowing that we are in control. And Zedekiah rose up against him, and then that did it. Nebuchadnezzar came in and took them all out and destroyed the temple, took the temple artifacts, all the nice, the goblets and jewelry and all the different things, and took them to Babylon. So let's see what else I wanted to point out here. Maybe we should just get into it and then that will cue me on that. So let's look at the first chapter of the book of Daniel. Notice it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. You know, just about every time you see an event in the Bible, they'll tell you when it is by the reign of a king. You know, it was such and such year. You're never going to see, you know, it was such and such B.C. because they didn't have B.C. back then. They didn't have A.D. back then. We didn't have those kind of numbers until I think it was the 5th or 6th century when they started going back and redoing the calendar. So, you know, when something happened, they would say, okay, so-and-so was king of this country at that time, so-and-so was king of this country, that's when it happened. That's the only way they had to determine that. So in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord, now says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand. Now, again, the people of Judah had not been obeying the Lord. They had been serving other gods. They had been doing all these things, kind of like what they did during the period of the judges. And they were warned by the prophets, and they refused to obey the prophets. And so it says, he allowed the king of Judah to be conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. That's what it means. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. It's kind of a weird way to put it. He didn't give Jehoiakim anything. He gave Jehoiakim to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar conquered him. And then he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God these articles. Some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. We're going to find out later on, I think it might be chapter 5, the chapter of the king. he was a very weak king, and they were having a big party, and they brought all these articles out, and they were using them, which was extremely forbidden that they do something like that. And that was when we saw the handwriting on the wall. And he brought Daniel in and said, "What does that mean?" He says, "Well, basically, your goose is cooked." You know, that's what he
Oh,
was saying.
no, you should not do that.
That's all he was saying.
My Bible doesn't say
See,
that.
that's, yeah, well,
Pastor's
that might be a
paraphrasing.
paraphrase, just a little bit. Yeah. So, but that's what he's talking about here, these articles. And I have a little note here. It said, "The articles taken from the house of God appear later on the night of Belshazzar's feast. Eventually, they were returned to Zerubbabel, who brought them back to Israel," when they got to go back. So, says, "Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs." Now, I was reading and studying about this, and some people believe that Daniel and his three friends were made to be eunuchs. Others doubt it. I don't think there's much doubt about it. I think they were. If we go to 2 Kings, if you go back to 2 Kings,
Second
all the way
Kings,
back,
what?
and you'll find 2 Kings after 1 Kings.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
man, you're so smart.
It's amazing.
Boy, you've got a
It's
nice
just
Bible.
amazing.
Chapter 16.
He has
2 Kings 20.
Okay.
And then we're going to be reading in verse 16. Yeah, 2 Kings 20, 16 through 18. "Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah," who was the king at that time, "hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon." So he's already, you know, prophesying this. "Shall be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, your descendants, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And also, we see that Ashpenaz was the master of the eunuchs, and he was the man in charge of Daniel and his three friends. So it's a pretty safe bet that's what they did. And the reason that they did that is because they worked in the palace, and there was all the different people in the palace, including the palace ladies, and they didn't have to worry about that, you
Right.
know.
So, yeah.
Okay, so he says, "The master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans." Okay, so what they're going to do here is they're going to try to, the word is assimilate. The word assimilate means to get people to blend in with the culture. Like, if there's a country and that country gets defeated and some of the people are taken to that country, they teach them their ways, and they get assimilated, blended into the culture. They become part of them. That was their goal here, okay? And it says, "And the king appointed for them," by the way, that word Chaldeans, whether it's Chaldean or Babylonian, means same thing.
Yeah, mine says Babylon.
Yeah. It says, "And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar." Now, don't confuse Belteshazzar with Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the guy I was telling you about, was the weak king who saw the handwriting on the wall. The difference is that T-E, Daniel's name was Belteshazzar. Hananias became Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, which is a lot of difference there, and to Azariah, Abednego. Don't say Abednego, Abednego. A lot of people will
I
put
call
the
him
N.
Abednego.
Yeah, Abednego is his name. I hear that a lot. But so I have a thing here that has the meanings of their names. This is what their original names mean. Daniel, the name Daniel means God is my judge. Yes, Hananiah means God is gracious or God's gift. Mishael means who is like God, God is great. And Azariah means God is my helper. Some of your study Bibles may have a chart that has something similar to that. I don't know if ours does. I'm looking at this right now. But it may be there.
First Kings, what are we reading
from? Oh, I'm back on Daniel now. That was second. It was Second Kings. Second Kings. If you just want to write it down, Second Kings 20, 16 through 18. Second Kings 20.
That tells you that they were eunuchs. Mine says young men, but they were eunuchs.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, they were made humans. Okay. Yeah.
I got it.
Okay, and then these are the names of their Babylonian, the meanings of their Babylonian names. Mm-hmm. Notice the difference. Daniel's went from meaning God is my judge to whom Bel favors, and Bel was a foreign god, keeper of the treasures of the prince of Bel. Actually, Bel, a lot of people believe, is another name for Satan. Okay. Yes. Now, Hananiah, his name was changed to Shadrach. Shadrach means illumined by Shad, the sun god. And then Mishael, name was changed to Meshach. It means who is like S-H-A-C-K, Shach, a love goddess. And Azariah, changed to Abednego, the servant of Nego, a fire god. So every one of these was named after a foreign god. Every one of them was. Now, why would they do that? Because they were brainwashing them. They were trying to, like I said, assimilate them into their culture, not only by having them study their literature and study their ways, but to change their very names. In other words, you know, they're giving them new names with new meanings and trying to change them. Now we're going to find out. Well, let me just ask you this question. Were they successful in changing them?
No.
Absolutely not. Because remember, we're going to find out when he had the big statue made, those three would not bow down to it. And then later on in Daniel, when he was supposed to stop praying, he refused. He kept doing it. So they weren't successful. What? Do you have something?
Well, the notes here that we have.
Match that?
Do not match that.
Do not match it?
No.
Okay.
For instance,
okay.
Azariah means the Lord has helped me, mm-hmm. and Abednego means servant of the god Nebo.
Okay, I have...
Mishael means... Meshach means I am of little account.
Okay, let me go. Let me back up.
So, I mean, there's just some difference.
Azariah says, God is my helper. What did you say Azariah meant?
The Lord has helped me.
Okay, the Lord has helped me.
But his Babylonian name, Abednego, means servant of the god Nebo, which is similar to what you said.
Well, Nego, because, see the name Nebo. Abednego, and it says the servant of Nego.
No,
that's what
Nebo.
Mine says.
N-E-B-O.
Well, I'm saying what mine says.
Nego slash Nebo is what mine says.
Okay, so it's interchangeable. Yeah. So they are similar.
But Meshach means I am of little account, according to this.
Oh, that is totally different.
That's totally different. Shadrach means I am fearful of the God, and it is capitalized God.
Okay. That's interesting.
I know.
Now, these go by their names, like Shadrach, illumined by Shad, the sun god. Meshach, who is like Shaq, a love god. So it comes from their names. The meaning comes from their names. So
Belteshazzar, lady protect the king, referring to the goddess Sarpanitu, wife of Marduk.
Protect his life.
Okay.
And the name Hananiah means the Lord is gracious.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the Hebrew meanings were pretty much right on, but the Babylonian meanings were off a little bit. The point is, whichever one's the most accurate. The point is they change the meaning of their names. They change their very names in order to try to change them to become good little Babylonians, you know, instead of people from Judah.
The religious loyalty of these young men from Judah's God to Babylonian gods.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So this next part, I probably won't stop too much because it's pretty self-explanatory. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Oh, he probably meant by that, the Jewish people had regulations. They were not to eat certain types of meat and certain foods. Mm-hmm. So this was something he took very seriously. It says, therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs, again, there it says, chief of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, now some translations, instead of continuously saying chief of the eunuchs, they might say Ashpenaz. He says, I fear my lord the king who has appointed you your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So what Ashpenaz is telling him is, you're going to get me in trouble, Daniel, because I'm supposed to take care of you. I'm giving you the best I know how to give you. I'm giving you what the king has. You know, it's the best we have to offer. And if I try this and you start looking haggard, it's going to mean my head. You know, Nebuchadnezzar didn't fool around. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, you know, you're going to put me in danger. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. So as you can see, Daniel was a pretty sharp guy, pretty intelligent. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter. Now that word, we think of the word fat as being a negative thing, but in this case, and if some of you will remember, some of the old timers used the word fat to mean healthy. You know, they did, you know, it was the same type of thing. So
this,
yeah. So better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So he kept his word. Okay, you're looking good. Kind of makes you wonder if he, you know, if he suggested it for the others, you know, but I don't know. It doesn't say that he did. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So God, I mean, they were intelligent young men. And God led them as they studied this literature and wisdom. And I think part of that was, okay, guys, you need to learn all these things to do your work here in Babylon. But don't get consumed with it. Understand. It's like I'm a creationist. If I'm teaching biology, I have to teach evolution. I don't have to believe evolution. And I can tell my students, you know, I need to teach you this because this is something we need to learn, you know.
Like having discernment?
Yes. And having discernment. And I would tell my students, okay, this is what I believe. This is what the text says. So I'll teach you both and you can make up your own mind. But I'm not going to buy into it because I had to learn it necessarily. And I think that's what's going on here. They needed to know these things. They needed to know about all the history of Babylon. They needed to know their philosophy. They needed to know who these other gods were, but they didn't need to
believe in it.
Right. And then it says, Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So apparently the other three didn't, or they wouldn't have singled Daniel out. So in this particular case, he had a special gift, just like people today have one will have a special gift that others won't have. It says, now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. So they were put in very high positions. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So this goes way ahead and says Daniel actually continued on for many, many years after that.
Do we know, let me look at a little chart here, maybe we know the first year of King Cyrus?
Yeah, I've got that here somewhere.
539.
539, thank you.
So for the first year of conscription.
So how long was that that he was?
Well, they were deported 605, so that's like 61, wow. 66 years, something like that. Because it wasn't too long after the Persians took over the Babylonians, a few years after that, maybe 4 or 5 years after that, when they started going back to their homeland. Because Cyrus was the one that gave the order, if I remember
correctly. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if he continued only until the first year of King Cyrus because something happened to Daniel?
7 years.
Did he pass at that time? He would have been an older person.
I have a note on that.
I'm not sure, Julie. That's a good question. Good question. Maybe that's just another way of saying he was there throughout the rest of the Babylonian realm.
There is a note down here. It says, thus Daniel held his position until the very end of the Babylonian Empire.
Yeah. And that would be, his position may have changed when the new king took over. Okay. May have given him another position or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't know.
I don't think it actually says when he passed. But okay. They think he lived to be at least 90. Because they said he was probably 15 or so when he got deported.
Oh, okay.
This is what I was reading. They estimate he probably lived to be at least 90 years old.
Daniel.
I forgot they did live longer
than all the times. Right. There are some corollaries. There are some comparisons, I think, between Daniel and Joseph. Because they both interpreted dreams correctly. And then even though Daniel was in a good position, he was even elevated even more after he was able to interpret the dream. Mm-hmm. You know, he was, and you know, Joseph went from being in prison to being second in power in Egypt. So there were some similarities there. I was trying to look up here. Here's something interesting. Grant Jeffrey, who was a great scholar, he said, archaeologists recently discovered next to the ruined palace in Babylon the elaborate ruins of the special schools for training the wise men.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So, they find these things. Archaeologists actually find them. But they did that. And then, of course, you know, another thing about Daniel, we think that the wise men in the Christmas story were descendants of Daniel. Or not descendants of Daniel, but were descendants of those people who were with Daniel. Daniel was over them. Daniel didn't have any descendants, obviously. But these were people that he worked with, that he was over. And, you know,
He knew them?
They worked for him. He was the head one. He was in that position. He was their boss, so to speak.
I mean, the wise men knew Daniel.
They would have known of him, and they would have known of the prophecy that Gabriel gave him about the 70 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And
that's how they knew the time.
That's how they knew to be looking for the star. They were watching for it because they thought, okay, if he's going to get cut off, meaning he would, you know, go through Jerusalem hoping to be accepted as king, and he's going to be cut off. He's probably in his 30s or 20s when that happened. So, you know, he's going to be born soon or whatever, because they knew what date that was. And so they're thinking, okay, we got to start. Just like today, we're thinking, man, a rapture is going to happen one of these days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were anticipating based on the signs and based on that prophecy. You know, they were looking for it. And a lot of people believe that those wise men in the Christmas story were, and this would have been 500 years later or so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I've read different ideas or thoughts on the wise men, that different ones come from different countries, which could happen, because they could have got people from different countries that they were training in these under this eunuch group, training the same way they did Daniel.
Yeah, because the Babylonians conquered a lot of different territories, and the best from those countries too. Yeah. You're right. They could have all been a lot of them from different countries.
Okay, so that's still
it could very well work out that way. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, very interesting study, and it's going to get better and better. So, all right, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, we thank you for this really nice first chapter of Daniel. There's a lot here, and and we see a lot of things happening, and we're just it's something to look forward to. We need to get more excited about Bible study, dear Lord. We need to have other people get more excited about it. So many people just leave their Bibles on their table collecting dust, and we just pray that more and more people might get hungry for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.